following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
My name is Adam, as Shadi said. It's okay if he doesn't pronounce my last name correct. He did, though, because I was standing over there telling him, but that was good. I've been here at Refuge for almost 10 years, so that's how long I've been a part of this church family, and I've really loved every moment of it. I love the pastors and just the whole body, the ministry. It's been great, so I'm super humbled and excited to be here tonight. Hopefully, we're going to talk about some really good stuff. We just finished the book of Mark. Jeff wrapped that up for us last week. And so we're going to kind of be spinning off of that and be talking really about what is our purpose as believers. Now that the Gospel of Mark is over and everything that the book of Mark is about, which is about Christ, and really ending with the culmination of him dying and raising again. But now, like, what is next? What's the next thing that we are supposed to do? And so we're going to be looking at that. So if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start there tonight. We'll kind of bounce around a little bit, and we'll have some other verses, but we'll start the night in Luke chapter 24, and we'll be in verse 45. And as you guys are turning there, you know, there's lots of things that have specific purposes. You know, you've got a sponge. What's the main purpose? Is to wipe away those dirty messes, whether it's dishes or the counter or whatever it is you're using the sponge for. Keyboards, computers, you're typing things, sending emails, whatever you're using that for. You know, but I love a multi-purpose tool. Have you guys seen those multi-purpose tools that are just really neat? They've got like, it's like part pliers, part screwdriver. It's got a little scissors that I'm assuming cuts things, probably nothing more than string, but hey, it cuts something. Usually it'll have a knife or like a little saw, and it's just so versatile for whatever the use calls, and I love a good multi-tool. And for some of us, maybe we're looking for that. We're looking for a purpose, maybe more than one. Recently, I had a conversation with my 11-year-old son, and it was after a Sunday morning, and you know, they do a great job in the children's ministry, and one of the things they had done was written down some questions for what they might want to ask God when they see him. And I probably have my own list that would probably be different than my son's. But what was interesting was I asked him, I was like, oh, hey, okay, that's cool. So what's one of your questions? And I probably thought that he would ask something about maybe an animal or how he created things or something like that. But what he said at 11 years old was this: what's my purpose? And I had to like stop and like reel from my 11-year-old on the new show called Kids Say the Deepest Things. And I just wasn't really sure at first how to fully respond. And then we kind of had a really good conversation. But if my 11-year-old son is asking that question, I've got to think that some of us have asked that same question. What is my purpose? And maybe we've asked that at different points in our lives. Maybe when we were younger. Maybe we're asking it right now. Maybe, you know, we're in an older season and we're asking, okay, what is that now? And the truth is God has given us a purpose. And not only that, but he's also given us the means by which to live that purpose out. The question is, are we doing it? And tonight we want to look at what that looks like. What is our purpose? What is the next thing? And how do we know that? How do we explore that? And I want to talk about a few things that I think stop us and hold us back from exploring that as well. So in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, be with me there. It says, "Then he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, 'This is what is written, the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem.' You are witnesses of these things, and look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." So this is a little bit different. We looked at Mark chapter 16 last week, and that was wrapped up. And this is similar, but kind of from a different angle. You know, if you look at the Gospels, it's the same story, but it's caught at different viewpoints. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all kind of approach it from a different way. And so that's what's happening here, is Jesus is giving that final address to his disciples, to his followers, okay, and he kind of runs down what has happened. And number one, that's, I came and I died and I rose again. It's what has happened. That's a fact. Then, on top of that, now you are believers in me. You are Christians. I have given you that new life. There is a new body, a new thing happening, and you are brought into that. And then lastly, I need you to go and I need you to wait for the empowering of the Spirit. And for us, I think even though we're not here, obviously, at this early church period, what is required of us is very similar. Now, obviously, we're not supposed to go to Jerusalem and wait there. That was specific for them. Although if you're going on the Israel trips, you'll probably do that, but that'll be a completely different thing. But obviously that is not for us necessarily. But what is for us is the same experience that the disciples and the followers of Christ received at that place. And that was the empowering of the Spirit. And that same power can be ours. And so there's three points we're going to look at tonight, three things. So if you're note takers, these are the three points that we're going to look at so you can follow along. Point number one is going to be, what is this power? What is this power? The second point we're going to look at is going to be, what do we do with this power? Okay, we'll know what it is, but what do we do with it? And the third point that we're going to make is, what stops us from accessing this power? What stops us from harnessing this power that we're going to talk about, we're going to learn about a little bit tonight. So, point number one, what is this power? And the answer simply is this: it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 2, just a couple books over, Acts chapter 2. And after Jesus gave them this admonition, go and make disciples of all nations, but first go to Jerusalem, wait there for the Spirit. So that's what they did. And they were there for quite a while until something unique happened. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them." It's a pretty radical experience, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit, but I did want to talk really briefly about, there are actually three experiences that you can have with the Holy Spirit. The first experience is this, and we'll look at this, is the para experience. The para is the Greek word. It's meaning with you. The Spirit's objective in this is to seek you out. John 14, 16 through 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This experience that we're talking about first is this para with you experience. And specifically, the objective of the Spirit in this is to seek you out. This is what we're looking at if you are not a Christian yet. And then maybe some of you guys know what that, remember what that felt like. You knew there was something else. You knew something was tugging at your heart, leading you towards something, which eventually you were led to realize that it was the need for Jesus Christ. That is the Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit coming along, being with you, leading you and guiding you towards salvation. He sought you out and led you to this new life. And so that's the first experience here. It's a more of a pre-conversion state that the Holy Spirit comes alongside and guides you towards Jesus Christ. The second experience is the N experience, E-N experience. And what that means is that the Spirit is in you. The Spirit's objective here is to save you. So first it's to seek you, then it's to save you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The second experience is that which the Spirit is now living inside you. Once you accept the Lord, you are now part of the family of God. You have been brought into that new life. And with that comes the Holy Spirit coming and living and indwelling in you. It is that experience that immediately happens the second that you decide to put your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ. As soon as you do that, the Spirit immediately is in you, working in you. And you'll be able to see that evidence in your life as you go. It is a unique experience for believers. The third experience, and the one we're going to focus on mostly tonight, is the EPI experience. It should say EPI, E-P-I. The EPI experience is to come upon. So the EPI experience is to come upon you or overflow over you. And what this is talking about is when the Spirit's objective is to send you. So we have, first of all, we have the Holy Spirit coming alongside you. He's with you. He's seeking you out. Secondly, once you come to Christ, he's in you. He saves you. And thirdly, the one we're going to look at primarily tonight is that overflowing experience of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you in a dynamic way, and that is him sending you. It's this passage that we're looking at tonight, this Acts chapter 2, what happened on the day of Pentecost and the disciples, and everyone was gathered together, and this rushing wind came in, and there were tongues of fire that were coming on them. They were speaking in tongues. It was this just crazy radical experience. And it's important to note that while we all have access to the Holy Spirit, that doesn't necessarily mean that our experience is going to exactly mirror what this is. You know, when we ask for the powering of the empowering of the Spirit, it happens, but just because it happens does not necessarily mean that there's going to be some earthquake and fire is going to be shooting down your elbow, you know, you're going to be just trying to get it away. Like, that doesn't mean that's going to happen. You might have an experience similar to that, but you might go your entire Christian life being empowered by the Spirit the same way the disciples were, but not necessarily have this similar of an experience that happens. But no matter what your experience is, it's important to remember this, that he equips you and he sends you out where he wants you to go. No matter if your experience is nothing more than you standing there and praying, "God, come upon me, I need the power of your Spirit," and nothing crazy physically happens, or you do that and there's a rushing wind and fire comes upon you, and no matter what the experience is, the outcome is the same. And that is that you now have the power of the Holy Spirit to send you out to do what his will is. So that's the first point, is what is this power? This power that we have, what is next is we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the baptism of the Spirit of God. I mean, that's radical, right? That we could have the power. And that's where, you know, I believe it was Jeff who talked about it, that it's kind of mind-blowing when Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, "I got to go, but what's coming is better." And I understand what Jeff is saying, that if I'm a disciple, I'm probably thinking, like, no, like, there's nothing better than having Jesus present with us right now. But Jesus is the one that's actually saying, no, I need to go so that the other one can come and be with you and empower you in a way that is completely different and will change your life. And it's absolutely the truth, because that is what the Holy Spirit, that is his purpose. So that was point number one. Point number two we're going to look at tonight is, okay, we know what this power is, but now what do we do with this power? And the answer to this is essentially, that's unique to your life. The answer is going to be different than everyone else's answer in here, because everyone has a different purpose. Everyone has a different role for what the Lord is wanting to do. It's important to realize that the power of the Holy Spirit is not the force from Star Wars. It is not an energy force that binds us together, makes us lift rocks. That's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit comes from God and acts as a conduit to access the power that the Lord wants to give us. I like what Skip Heitzig says about it. He says, if you see the Holy Spirit as a power, you will say, I want more of the Holy Spirit, especially in time of need. But if you see him more as a person, you will say, I want the Holy Spirit to have more of me. See the difference there? You know, one is saying, oh, I want this, I want this power, I want this. But if you really view the Spirit as a person, as part of the Godhood, it's more of a, take all of me, Spirit. Like, use me to the greatest ability that you want to use me in. You know, the word for the Holy Spirit is this parakletos, that he is an advocate, he is a comforter, he is a helper. He is there to assist us during this time on earth. And man, if we need him during this time here on earth, the world is crazy right now. We need all the help we can get. And the biggest help that we have is the actual Spirit of God, who is ready to come and empower us and give us what we need to move forward. So what now? How does accessing the Holy Spirit bring us closer into learning what our purpose is? And I suggest there are three areas of possibility where you use the Holy Spirit to the greatest ability. The first area I believe we use the power of the Holy Spirit is in ministry. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about church ministry. I'm talking about body ministry here at a church that you're involved in. And perhaps it'll be something that's on a full-time level. Maybe it'll be something on a part-time level, whatever that looks like. You know, with the empowering of the Spirit comes gifts. You know, we see in the book of Acts, we see in this chapter, they start speaking in these tongues. That's just one of these kinds of gifts. And there's lists more. You go to 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and there's a list of gifts that we can learn about and find out, you know, maybe I have the gift of helps. Maybe I have the gift of service. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. You know, whatever it is, there's a whole assortment of gifts that we have access to that we know the Lord wants to give us at least one of. These gifts are for the building up of the body, the encouragement of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that word all there is speaking of the body, that the Spirit is equipping us with gifts to bless one another. You know, we are called to exercise the gifts that God has given us to bless each other. It's a body ministry. You know, it's something that we need to try to use to bless the people around us. And maybe the Lord is calling you to that. It's something that we all have. The Bible is clear that each of us have at least one gift. Each of us have at least one. Most likely, we have a few. No one's like super awesome and has all the gifts and it's just like whopping them out left and right, but we all have at least one. The question is, are we finding out what those gifts are and are we using them? Have we spent time asking God, what are my gifts? What, you know, how do you want to use me? And in what capacity? Is it somewhere in church ministry? Is it somewhere, you know, benefiting the body? And the church, you know, whether it's here or other churches, have a plethora of ways to get plugged in. And maybe it's a children's ministry. Maybe it's in the parking and serving. Maybe it's reaching out to the homeless. Maybe it's setting up and tearing down. You know, whatever it is that you feel called to do based on the gifting that He has given you, maybe God is calling you to get plugged in and to take part in a ministry. And it might be on a full-time level. It might be on a part-time level. But you'll never really know unless you spend the time asking the Lord and seeking out what it is He has for you. So the first one where I believe that we is the most beneficial to use the power of the Holy Spirit is in ministry. The second is in your regular life. Regular life. And what I mean by this is, okay, maybe God isn't necessarily calling you in this season to get involved in church specifically. Maybe He's wanting you to get involved in whatever you are doing in your regular life. Maybe you're a student, and that means reaching out to your fellow peers, your teacher. Maybe you're just working a regular job, and it's your coworkers, your boss. Maybe you're retired, and it's just the people you're coming into contact with every day. Maybe it's a friend group that doesn't know the Lord, or maybe they do know the Lord, but there's just kind of a lack of spiritual depth there. You know, I love what Pastor Bill talks about when he's talking about the person in the middle of your road and that person that you come into contact with on a natural, regular basis. I think that's so cool because I think if we're really looking for opportunities, they come up more than we really realize. I think a lot of times we have those people that God raises up in our life that, you know, He wants us to minister to, He wants us to reach out to. The question is, are we having the faith, the boldness to step out and use the gifts He's given us to minister and to reach out? You know, and I think it could be something supernatural. It doesn't have to be something that is forced. You know, if you're someone who is working and someone's asking you, hey, like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to church. And, you know, you get kind of quiet, or, you know, maybe, you know, it's a great opportunity to say, oh yeah, like I'm going on a mission trip. So I requested this PTO, this, you know, time off. And so I'm doing that. Oh, that's interesting. And it just naturally kind of brings up this conversation. But it would be so easy when somebody's like, oh, how come you asked all that time off, to be like, oh, I'm going on vacation to Thailand. And, you know, it would be really easy to kind of sweep it under the rug. But maybe God wants us to be bold. Maybe God wants us to answer those questions honestly and see what kind of conversations come from that. But a lot of times I think, and I'm with you, a lot of times we hold that back for whatever reason. We don't fully give into making those things known. Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. There are people all around us in our everyday lives that God may be calling us to, wanting us to use our gifts to minister, to reach out. But are we being aware? Are we having that spiritual, heavenly mindset to come into contact with and share with those people? And maybe that's your purpose. Maybe it's not in a body ministry in the season. Maybe He's wanting you to focus on your everyday life. And the third area, so you have ministry, you have your regular everyday life, and the third area is your family. And I think your family is the most important, yet often the most neglected area of our ministry. Because I really believe that our family is our first ministry. Our family deserves to get the most from us on a spiritual level. I mean, I think there's such a focus on the family life in the Bible. It's fully evident. You look in Ephesians 5 and 6, and Paul is laying out how families should be connecting and working, from husbands and wives to parents and their children. You know, it's all laid out there, and the importance of what that looks like. And I think it's really easy sometimes to be so focused on other things that maybe our family sort of gets the leftovers. They get the back burner of of the spiritual part of our lives. You know, I've recently been reading through the books of Kings and Chronicles, and it's really interesting because if you notice, there's kind of this pattern that constantly happens, especially with the kingdom of Israel. Judah, there's a little bit of differences, but what I'm constantly seeing is evil king fathers and then their sons coming into the power and doing the exact same thing as their parents. You know, serving the same evil gods, doing the same wicked things. And I think there's just such a lack of spiritual guidance that it's so easy for these kids to then come into these positions of power and they're doing the exact same thing that their parents are doing. And I think for us, for those of you who are parents or grandparents, I think it's so necessary, so important to be pouring into the hearts and minds of the little ones that are around us, of the ones that God has given us the responsibility to look after and take care of. But a lot of times, that could be placed second. That could be placed in the back burner. Are we taking that seriously? Are we being intentional? Are we making it a priority to reach out and minister to our family? And maybe you're not in that position, but maybe you have a parent or a sibling or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or whoever it is that's in your family that needs the love of Jesus, that needs the benefit from the gifts that God has given you. But are we seeing those? Are we putting ourselves out there to minister and to bless and to reach out to our family and to our loved ones? It's so important. And maybe your purpose is your family. You know, I was talking to my son. I kind of had to describe that. I was like, you know what? Our purposes change. You know, and my purpose before you came around was different than it is now, because right now, one of my biggest purposes is to be your dad and to pour Jesus into you. And for me, that's one of my main purposes right now in my life. But that'll change potentially in years to come. And it's definitely different than when I grew up. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, about how we go through these seasons. And so those are the three areas that I believe the Holy Spirit empowers us to use the gifts that he gives us to minister. So there's ministry, you know, full-time or part-time capacity. There's regular life, whatever that looks like specifically to you. And then there's family, which we all have to come in some capacity, is our family and the people that are directly within our line of encountering. But then that brings us to point number three. Like, okay, we know, number one, what the power is. The power is the Holy Spirit, his anointing, his baptism. Second point is we know how we're supposed to use that power. It's going to be unique. It's going to be for you specifically. You need to pray and ask God about what that looks like. But point number three is this, is what stops us from accessing this power? What stops us, what holds us back from finding out what this power is, how to use it, where to use it? And I believe there's four areas that stop us. The first one is complacency and apathy. Complacency and apathy. I combine them because they're very similar. Essentially, these are being very comfortable and being very lazy. And this might get a little uncomfortable because maybe some of us are in this position. I think it's super easy to be very comfortable and very apathetic and lazy in our Christian walk. I think it's easy for us not to invest in the power of the Spirit, come and do our church time, leave, and not give a second look at what it is we're called to do. I think it's really easy to allow things to get in the way of what God is calling us to do. In Luke chapter 9, there's a story, and there's these guys that are coming to Jesus, and they're saying, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you. And he tells them what to do, and they're like, oh, but let me go and bury my father. Oh, let me go and say bye to my family. And they're giving these really weak excuses instead of just following Jesus like he's telling them to do. And this is more speaking about the act of actually following Jesus. I'm not questioning your salvation, but I am questioning the fact that it can be really easy to give similar excuses to not give into what God is calling us to do. It can be really easy to get comfortable. It's really easy for us to fall into that trap of coming, doing our church thing, heading out those doors, and then living life. I'm not saying you're living life bad. You could be living life as a good Christian should. But are you doing more for him? Are we doing what he's calling us to do? Are we really giving into what the Spirit is wanting to do in us and through us? And I've totally been that person. I've been that person that has been in a season of life where I just wasn't involved in ministry. And then when I started feeling that tug to get back involved, it was really easy for me to be like, but I really like leaving at 10:30 on Sundays and then having the rest of my day to do whatever I want to do and just kind of leaving it at that. And I played that game for a while until eventually just the conviction of the Lord and some confirmation came in. And I was like, okay, I got to get back involved and do what you're wanting me to do. But it can be really easy to allow just that, like, I'm busy. And I get it. Some of us are very busy. I'm not saying, you know, stop with your excuses. You're just being lame for not doing what the Lord's wanting you to do. I get it. We're busy. We're doing things. You know, we have jobs. We have families. We have responsibilities. You know, I'm not saying to disregard those things that we have. What I'm saying is if God's calling you to do something, he's going to make it possible for you to do everything you need to do. And maybe in that season, you have to sacrifice something, but it will be for your benefit. Maybe he's asking you to sacrifice something that you're holding on to, that's taking up a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, because he has something better for you. But if we continue to give those excuses of like, oh, I'm busy, I got these things going on, I'll get involved later, you know, I have all these things to do, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. We're going to miss out on what his true plan is for our lives. The second way I think that we don't give into accessing the power that the Spirit has is honestly just straight out of disobedience. And when I think about this, I usually think about Jonah, and we know that story. And we know that Jonah was called to do a specific thing, and he did not like that thing. And so what did he do? He was like, peace out, I'm down. And he just left to the point where God had to send a fish to swallow him and then vomit him back up after being like, fine, I'll do it after 3 days in this whale or fish or whatever it is. And I think it's really easy for us to be disobedient in this area. I think that some of us might know what it is God wants us to do, and we're like, I don't want to do that. So you know what? I'm just going to sit over here and pretend that I didn't hear God telling me that. And it can be really easy to be disobedient, to honestly be rebellious. And again, we miss out on what God wants for us. The third area is being misinformed. So first, there's apathy, there's complacency, second, disobedience, the third being misinformed. And I think essentially many are misinformed on what it really means to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's just not taking time to read the Bible or time to study, but I think sometimes there's a disconnect with the communication of what it really means for the Holy Spirit to come in and affect and influence our lives. And I think we owe it to the Lord and ourselves to really explore what that is. You know, we can't just play that excuse of like, I just don't really understand it, so I don't really know, I'm just going to kind of keep doing what I'm doing. Like, God has laid it out clearly in his word what that means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're looking at it tonight. And so we can't really continue with that excuse of being misinformed. And I get it. A lot of people are. You know, we look back at our passage in Acts, and just a few verses after they're speaking in tongues, there's people who are like, they're drunk and they're crazy. And Peter has to come up and kind of be like, nope, that's not what's happening. And he gives this amazing message. You know, and there's kind of a miscommunication, because a lot of times when people think of like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're thinking of like pastors slapping people with their jackets or like throwing snakes in like snake party and like whatever it is. And they're, you know, that's their mentality. But when you really look at the scriptures, when you really look at what it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and embrace the gifts that he's given you, it's order, not chaos. And if we really decide to dive in and learn and educate ourselves, no matter what age we are, no matter what place in life we are, God is faithful to bring the understanding we need to use us in the capacity that he wants to use us. So misinformation is the third. And the last one, the last area that I believe causes us to not fully give in to the power of the Holy Spirit is fear. Fear. I'm going to break fear down into two subgroups. First one is this. It's the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. Not knowing where God will lead you if you give in can be scary. Not knowing where God is going to take you, what he's going to do with you if you fully embrace the power of the Spirit can be a little scary. What if God leads me somewhere I don't want to go? What if he wants me to do something I don't want to do? That is a legitimate concern, and I get that. You know, one semester in Bible college, I had a class dedicated on missions. And, you know, they would have missionaries come in and talk about their experiences. They would have, you know, just these long classes about what it looks like to be a missionary, to be sent out, and all this kind of stuff. And the way I spent that semester in that class was, it was kind of in a big auditorium, bigger than this, is I hid in the back and played video games on my computer because I knew that if I listened in that class, God was going to call me to some third world country. I was going to end up being in a hut, eating grubs for the rest of my life. And I was just like, I am not about to let that happen. I'm going to play Mario on my computer right now. And that's what I did. And honestly, I fully regret doing that. And it wasn't until years later that the Lord really changed my perspective on missions, and I came around and repented. Thank you, Lord. But for that season of my life, I was super afraid of what God was going to call me to. And being afraid of the unknown can be really scary. In Romans 8:28, though, it says, and we know this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Guys, we know that whatever God is going to call you to, it might seem scary and daunting, but it's going to be amazing because he has a great and wonderful purpose for each and every one of us. And if we're faithful to embrace what he has for us, we will love it. We will embrace that. You know, and I've had friends who, you know, speaking of missions, who have felt called to missionary life, and yeah, they were afraid. Their spouses were like, no way, we're not going there. But once they were obedient to what the Lord was calling them to and embraced what it is that God had for them, man, they never looked back. And so if you're here, maybe that's you. Maybe there's a fear of like, well, I want the power of the Spirit, but I'm really nervous about where that path leads. You're not alone, but then you're really going to be missing out on what it is he has. We can trust that God has the best laid plans for each and every one of us. So the fear of the unknown is the first kind of sub point. And then the second one is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. And either we're afraid of failing in what God is going to call us to do, or we've already failed and we're afraid that we can no longer be used. And again, I fully identify with the fear of failure. I understand that concept of messing up and being like, God, how can you even use me ever again? Or the fear of, like, I know God wants me to do this, but what if it fails? What if it goes nowhere? What if I'm mistaken? What if I'm not hearing the Lord right and I'm going to step out, but he's going to, you know, that's not what he was talking about? I get that. I understand that mentality of fearing failure. But I love these verses, and these are so comforting when I'm thinking of that. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And Romans 3:23 through 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And lastly, Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Guys, we know these verses. We know we've heard these in messages and scriptures, but do we know them fully in our hearts and our minds? Have we embraced them? Have we lived them out? Because a lot of times it's so easy to give into the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure. God, what are you going to do? Is everything going to be okay? How can you use someone like me? I messed up so terribly. But God is so completely faithful to redeem that which has been lost, that which has been messed up. He is so faithful to do an amazing work in you and through you. If you turn and say, God, I'm here, I'm ready. I want to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to embrace the gifts that you have for me, and I want to use them to the best of my ability. So as we head towards wrapping this up, what does all this mean? What do we leave here tonight with? What is our purpose? And we know generally what our purpose is. You know, Jeff talked about that last week when he finished off Mark chapter 16, verse 15, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And absolutely, we should be looking for opportunities all over the place to evangelize and to spread the good news. God, where do you want me to tell others about Jesus? Absolutely. That is the general purpose of us as Christians. But along with a general purpose comes a unique purpose. And specifically for you and me, what does that look like? What does it mean to serve God in this capacity? What does it mean for us to embrace the power of the Spirit and move forward? And honestly, only really you can know that. Only you can know what that purpose is, what that thing is that God is calling you to do in this season of your life. In Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13, it says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" What Jesus is saying here is like, you people, if your kid asks you for something simple like a fish or an egg, are you going to be like, "Ha, sucker, here's a scorpion"? Like, is that going to happen? No, unless you're a psychopath maybe, but I don't think any of us in here are that way. Then how much more is God, who is good, who is amazing, who is absolutely perfect and wonderful and loves you, if you ask for something for someone like the Holy Spirit, how likely is it for him to give the Spirit to you? 100%. Every time he's going to give you the Spirit. Every time he's going to give you what you need in that moment that you're asking. The problem is a lot of us, myself included, neglect sometimes to ask. A lot of us forget that that's even part of our Christian walk, is this Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of like the part of the Trinity that is the most mysterious, obviously, because, you know, God the Father, we see a lot of in the Old Testament, we read about him, you know, New Testament, you get a lot of Jesus in the Gospels and talking about all that. The Holy Spirit is kind of this enigma person of the Trinity, and a lot of times he's the most neglected, but ironically, he's the one that's closest to us. He's the one that's living inside of us. He's the one that's empowering us. But are we really embracing that part of the Trinity? Are we really embracing who the Spirit is? You know, we need boldness not to allow complacency or apathy or fear, disobedience, or misinformation or anything like that stand in the way of God really wants to do with you and with me. Because the second that we do, we let the enemy win, we let him just take away the blessing that God wants to give us through what he's called us to do. Because God essentially wants three things. And we'll close with this, and Jesse could come back out. God wants three things. He wants to raise your expectations because there's something more for you. He wants your availability. He wants you to make time for what he has for you. And lastly, he wants your response. He wants your obedience to ask and receive for the Spirit by faith. And maybe it's going to be in church ministry. Maybe it's going to be in something right here at Refuge, plugging in. Maybe it's going to be in your regular life, in your jobs, in the people you come into contact with. Or maybe it's going to be in your family. But whatever it is, God has given you a mission, a purpose, and he's giving you the means by which to live out that purpose. But are we asking about it? Are we diligently seeking what that is? Are we finding out and discovering what our gifts are? Guys, I recently taught in high school, and I was talking to them and telling them, like, I think a big reason why high schoolers leave high school and then don't really follow through is because they think that this is the extent of Christianity. Sitting in pulpits or sitting in chairs, watching somebody preaching from a pulpit, and having a boring time in the mindset of a high schooler. But when you realize that there's so much more to Christianity, when there's so much more to our walk, there's so much more that God wants to do with you and with me, when you realize that the Christian walk can be exciting, can be invigorating, that we can be used, that we have power, man, that makes the Christian walk so much better. It makes it so much more exciting, so much more like, man, I just want to live out whatever God has for me. Don't be someone who just comes and sits and leaves and does nothing. Get involved. Be involved with your family, with those in your life. See what God wants to do, how he wants to use you, and watch how much he blesses you. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask that you would be with us here tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that your Spirit brings. We thank you for the gifts that you give. We thank you for using us, for wanting to use us, that you could just be using angels to do what you want to do, but instead you want to use us to bring forth your word, to minister to others, to love on our family, to love on the body of Christ. And I pray for everyone here that we would take this to heart, that we wouldn't allow things to get in the way, excuses to come up, that we wouldn't allow the enemy to win and keep us from the exciting life that you have for us. God, I just ask that you would minister to us, that you would bring to our minds, our hearts, those gifts that you have, that we would invest the time and the energy to embrace and find out and discover and work on those things that you have for us. God, we just thank you for having a purpose for us, that we can walk in this life full of purpose, knowing what you have for us, no matter what season we're in. So God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we worship you tonight. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.